Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Anatomy of Peace. Fifth edition, Resolving the Heart of Conflict by the Arvinger Institute is a narrative-driven leadership and conflict resolution book that argues lasting change begins beneath. Behavior, in the way people see and value one another. Rather than offering negotiation tactics or communication scripts as the primary solution, the book focuses on the inner orientation that fuels either escalation or reconciliation. It presents a model in which a heart at war reduces others to objects, such as obstacles, threats, or irrelevancies, while a heart at peace recognizes others as people with legitimate needs and concerns. Through story and teaching segments, the book connects personal relationships, workplace dynamics, and broader social conflict to this underlying mindset. The fifth edition updates the work with a new preface and an expanded discussion guide, strengthening its usefulness for teams, organizations, and groups that want a structured way to apply the ideas. Its purpose is practical to help readers interrupt cycles of blame and justification and move toward more humane, effective action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, conflict starts with how we see people, not what they do. A central claim of The Anatomy of Peace is that conflict is sustained less by the external issue and more by the internal stance people bring into the situation. When individuals see others as objects, they interpret behavior through suspicion, entitlement, or contempt, which makes even reasonable requests feel like attacks. This inner stance encourages self-protection and control rather than understanding and cooperation. The book contrasts this with seeing others as people, meaning acknowledging that they have experiences, pressures, hopes, and needs that are as real as our own. This shift does not require agreement, passivity, or the removal of boundaries. Instead, it changes the tone and intent behind boundaries and decisions. By treating the problem as a matter of the heart, the book reframes conflict resolution as an inside-out process. Instead of asking only how do I get them to change, it pushes the reader to consider what I might be contributing through my assumptions and self-justifications. This perspective is meant to reduce escalation, open communication, and create the conditions where solutions can actually hold. Secondly, hearts at war and hearts at peace as a practical diagnostic. The book develops a simple but demanding diagnostic in any moment. A person is oriented either toward war or toward peace. A heart at war is characterized by the need to be right, to protect an image, to win, or to punish, and it tends to create stories that justify those aims. In that mode, people assign fixed motives to others and view them primarily in terms of how they affect personal goals. A heart at peace, by contrast, keeps the humanity of others in view even during disagreement, which supports curiosity, accountability, and more constructive action. The value of this framework is its immediacy. Readers can apply it mid-conflict as a check on their intent and perception rather than as a retrospective analysis. It also clarifies why technically correct actions, such as giving feedback, enforcing a rule, or holding a line, can still land as hostile if the underlying motive is contempt or superiority. The book emphasizes that peace is not merely the absence of conflict, but a way of engaging that makes conflict less corrosive and more solvable. Thirdly, justification and blame as the engine of escalation. A repeated pattern in the book is how people recruit evidence to defend their own stance and prosecute the other side. Once someone adopts a heart at war, they tend to generate justifications for their behavior and interpretations, which harden into blame. That blame then produces more defensive behavior, which in turn provides new evidence that the other person is unreasonable, dangerous, or unworthy of care. The Anatomy of Peace treats this cycle as self-reinforcing and largely invisible from the inside, because justification feels like truth rather than strategy. The book explores how this dynamic can show up in families, workplaces, and communities. One side believes they are responding to provocation, while the other side experiences the response as fresh provocation. What makes the analysis useful is that it does not rely on diagnosing the other party. It focuses on the part the reader can control, namely the internal need to be justified. By identifying justification as a mechanism, the book helps readers notice when they are selectively interpreting events to protect themselves from responsibility. Shifting away from justification does not mean excusing harm or abandoning standards. It means acting from a place that aims for resolution rather than self-validation. Fourthly, from inward to outward as a leadership and culture shift. Although the book is accessible as personal development, it is also strongly oriented toward organizational life. It aligns conflict reduction with a broader shift from inward focus, where people are preoccupied with their own needs, fears, and image, to outward focus, where they consider the impact of their choices on others. In an inward mode, colleagues become instruments for success, barriers to progress, or liabilities to manage, which undermines trust and collaboration. In an outward mode, people still pursue results, but they account for the reality of others in planning, communication, and problem solving. the book links this mindset shift to culture norms of cooperation are difficult to sustain when individuals and teams are trapped in mutual objectification. Leaders play a disproportionate role because their stance signals what is safe and what is valued. When leaders operate with a heart at war, they may enforce compliance but often increase concealment and resentment. When leaders operate with a heart at peace, they are better positioned to invite accountability without humiliation and to correct performance issues without escalating personal conflict. The fifth edition strengthens group application through discussion-oriented support materials. Lastly, application through reflection, dialogue, and sustained practice. The Anatomy of Peace is structured to move beyond inspiration into practice, emphasizing that insight alone does not dismantle entrenched conflict. The story and teaching format is designed to help readers recognize themselves, not just understand concepts abstractly. The fifth edition includes an expanded discussion guide, reinforcing that many of the most meaningful shifts occur when people work through the ideas with others and relate them to real situations. The book encourages ongoing reflection, noticing moments of objectification, identifying the self-protective narratives that appear, and experimenting with more outward responses. In practical terms, this can mean entering a difficult conversation with the goal of understanding the other person's concerns, acknowledging the other's experience without surrendering one's own, and taking responsibility for one's contribution to the climate of the relationship. It can also mean revisiting organizational conflicts with a focus on shared purpose and human impact rather than on proving who is right. The emphasis on sustained practice matters because the heart at war can return under stress, especially when stakes feel high. The book treats peace as a discipline of attention and intent that must be renewed repeatedly. In conclusion, The Anatomy of Peace. Fifth edition is best suited for readers who are tired of surface-level conflict advice and want a deeper explanation for why the same problems keep recurring in relationships and teams. Team leaders, managers, coaches, and HR professionals will find it relevant because it links interpersonal breakdowns to culture and performance, not merely to communication technique. It also fits families, educators, and community members who want to reduce hostility and build cooperation without pretending that disagreements are simple. The main practical benefit is a usable lens for self-correction. It helps readers spot when they are turning others into obstacles or threats and how that internal move quietly drives escalation. Intellectually, it offers a coherent model that connects motives, perception, and behavior into one system, making conflict feel less mysterious and more workable. Compared with many books in the negotiation and leadership category, it stands out by placing mindset at the center rather than positioning tools as the primary cure. It is not a quick fix manual, and some readers may prefer a more purely tactical approach, but for those open to inner work, its value is in making accountability and empathy operational. The added discussion materials in this edition further support real-world application in groups where change must be shared to last. If you would like to support the Arbinger Institute, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.